Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Ah, there it is. And well, thank you, Brad, for the news. And thank you, CBS, for the news. And thank you for being here. This is Johnny Rabbit. We are at your service. We're on KMOX, AM 1120. Thanks a heck of a lot for being here on this day. Kind of a gloomy day, but no ice, no snow. No, you know, we're going to talk a lot about riverboats right now with Mr. Riverboat himself, Tom Dunn. I'm just looking at your book, The Admiral, Glorious Mississippi Excursions, A History. When would that, Tom, when did that come out?
It came out now about 3 years ago, and it kind of gives a complete history of the boat, going back to the family which built the boat and which was on the river for decades. And it was the culmination of all the boats that they had built, all the old wooden gingerbread boats.
Sure.
And it all evolved into what we know as the Admiral.
Yep, the Admiral. Obviously it's gone, but a lot of people, there are three boats that people ask me about that either weren't here when they came to their end or they've forgotten what happened. The Admiral, the President, and the Goldenrod. So what happened to the Admiral itself, the physical boat?
The physical boat, it went from an excursion boat to a casino, and then when the casinos moved off the river, decided to scrap the boat.
Wasn't there one time that Six Flags was involved?
That's right. Six Flags had it for several years. They had they took the excursion boat and they projected that it would take about $6 million to make it an entertainment center.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some cost overruns, and the end result, the boat ended up costing him $36
million. My goodness sakes.
And so when they finally opened up with that kind of debt, they could not make it. So after a year, Six Flags had to give it up as an entertainment center. And then John Conley out of Pittsburgh came along, and he tried it for another season, put in another several million of his own money into it. And as an entertainment center, it just didn't go. People, when they went on the Admiral, especially St. Louis, they expected to cruise.
In these days, it didn't cruise.
It did not cruise. It was completely dockside. The last cruise on the Admiral was 44 years ago in the fall of 78, and after that, we had to save the Admiral campaign and so on. It gets really involved.
It did, and it was worth saving, of course. I mean, it was a magnificent vessel. It had been down there since, 1940?
Right, 1940 was the first season, and went through all the war years, and then during the 60s and the 70s, remained popular.
I think of the dances that were on that, right? And the band.
Oh, right. We, of course, everybody in recent years, later years, was Bob Cuban.
Sure.
And the dance floor was 12,000 square feet. You could easily have 2,000 people dancing, and they did. The Admiral would sell out every Friday and Saturday nights with 4,000, and we averaged about 1,200 during the day. But music was a major part of the popularity of the Admiral, and that was true of all the Streckfest boats through all the decades. The music was a major factor.
I'm just looking at a little article that is print is a little too small for me to read, other than I can see. Are you missing those deluxe steamer dances on the JS?
The JS was here in St. Louis along with another sister ship, the St. Paul. And the JS was named after the founder of the company, John Streckfest.
Sure.
And they always had a saying that the JS was for the carriage trade, and the St. Paul was for the cattle trade, because they had all the debutante parties and everything on the JS. And then, and of course, both boats were very popular, and they would they carried about 2,000 passengers themselves.
So did they take the same route up and down the river that the Admiral did?
Right. Well, they could go north at that time because the Lock and Dam 26 was not there, and so they went north. The theory being that it in St. Louis gets very hot, so if you go north, and then when you turn around to come back in the afternoon, you have all these southerly breezes to keep you cool.
Oh,
and so that was the reason. Those two boats mostly went north. The Admiral could just barely, most times couldn't get under Eads Bridge, so it went south, mm-hmm. down all the way down to Jefferson Barracks Bridge.
Water is pretty low these days.
It is. You hear a lot about that, but most of that's down in around Memphis and so on, where the Ohio River is low, and the Mississippi is low also. 60% of the water that comes through St. Louis is Missouri River water, and the 40% is north from, mm-hmm. Northern upper Mississippi. And so it's low, but in St. Louis it hasn't really been that bad as compared to further south. Now, we get into the winter, those rivers up there will start freezing up, and then the river will drop here, and it could get fairly low.
Now, we didn't get to the end of the Admiral's life. What happened? What happened at the very end? Where
the
did
very
it go?
End, the boat was taken downriver to the lower marine operations down there, and it was dismantled, scrapped. In other words, when you think of the hull of the boat alone, it was 390 feet long and 85 feet wide. It was a lot of steel there. So there was no other use. You could the boat. It was just too big. It was too big for most things. And if somebody had an idea, let's do this on the riverfront, they said, well, that boat's just too damn big.
It was big,
right.
And that hull, wasn't that from the Albatross, an old railroad ferry boat?
You do know your history.
Yeah.
That's right. The Albatross was built in 1907. It had a sister ship called the Pelican, and it was a railroad ferry boat at Vicksburg. And the river was very wide there, and so it would transport railroad, the locomotives and freight, back and forth all day long, every day. And up until around 1933, Vicksburg finally built a railroad bridge. That railroad transfer boat, which was named the Albatross, was retired. And Streckfest, seeing this monster boat for railroad transfer, thought, this is the ideal foundation to build my excursion boat, the Admiral. And so he bought the boat, brought it up to St. Louis, and right there at Laclede's Landing, they, over a period of years, it took about 3 years to build the boat. Of course, remember, this is the Depression, too.
Sure,
these are hard times.
Yeah.
And so it took a while for them to build. In fact, in 1936, here in St. Louis, we had a heat wave. And it was so bad that St. Louis, there's so much brick and so on. Keep in mind, this is days before air conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
Over 400 people died in the city of St. Louis due to heat exposure.
Wow.
So that's when the Streckfest brothers said, well, when we were building this boat, let's put air conditioning on it.
Good idea.
The Admiral was the first riverboat to have air conditioning.
Wow.
And to find an air conditioning unit the size of the ballroom, they went to the Carrier folks who actually invented the first air conditioner, and they decided on the same air conditioning unit for the Queen Mary.
My goodness. So, that's amazing.
And it needed it, too, in that big ballroom.
Sure.
And it was it could get down to 65 degrees in there on a 90-degree day. It really worked well.
And then those, if you're up in the upper deck, you had those river breezes
coming along,
too. That was nice.
Of course, a lot of people like to get on the upper deck and see the sights anyway.
Right? And there was a different atmosphere daytime and nighttime. More families daytime and all those games in the arcade. And
dance schools. And you're right. It was primarily more of a family-oriented thing. And then... in the evening was young people dating, and people love to dance.
So don't look for the Admiral, because you're not going to find any of it anywhere that I know of.
It might be on a bumper on a car or something, or recycled steel. But
there are a couple of replicas around of models of the Admiral.
Oh, absolutely.
They're very nice. So, and it was totally different in looks than really any other river vessel at that time. Well, the president, when did that start in 33?
Exactly. When you think of the old boats with all the gingerbread and all wood, the president, the Streckfest brothers, built this boat on a steel hull, and they used to advertise it as all steel, like a skyscraper. Mm. All the steel work and everything, all the work in there was steel, and it was Art Deco streamlined type design, trying to get away from the old gingerbread.
Sure,
look.
And it did.
And it did. And the boat was licensed to carry 3,000 passengers, and it was so popular in the 30s that Streckfest thought, well, we need to build a bigger one. And they had two boats in New Orleans that they were going to retire, so they took the president in New Orleans, and then they built the Admiral for St. Louis. And... So the Admiral was stepped away from the Art Deco into what they call Art Moderne.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the streetcars, how they were all and the railroad? That was kind of the architectural fad of the time. So the Admiral took on that Jules Verne kind of look. It was really unique and different.
We're going to come back and talk more with Tom Dunn about the river, about the president, and other vessels that were and are on our riverfront. This is Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service on KMOX. That's us. And this is Johnny Rabbit, incidentally. Tom Dunn from the river. Well, you're not on the river technically anymore, are you? I mean, you go down there to look, I'm sure.
I go down there every once in a while, but I retired about 3 years ago now.
How long were you in the river business?
I started with Streckfest Steamers, which operated the Admiral. I was down there about 45 years. And, of course, the riverfront went through a lot of transitions.
Oh,
a lot of boats came and gone.
Well, we were talking before about the president, about the Admiral. Mazie Krebs was a designer involved in both of those, I believe.
Right.
From South St. Louis.
South St. Louis, and she was an artist and designer, and I think she was a Washington University graduate.
And she worked for Famous Bar.
She worked for Famous Bar, and I think she went up to Chicago for a while and then came back. And so all the interior design of the president was so well accepted. Everything else was really recognized. It's really a unique setting that they did the same on the Admiral. She was also involved with the Admiral's interior design.
Well, we know where the Admiral isn't, because it isn't, but do we know where the president is? Because in a way, it is.
It is. It's a funny story. A man came in my office one time, and he said he had just purchased the president, and the president had recently been a casino, and it was like a lot of casinos that went up in the city and got away from the river, so the president was available, and it was sitting kind of in mothballs down near Memphis. And a man came to my office, said he had bought the boat. And I said, really? I said, what are you going to do with it? He said, I'm going to take it to Effingham, Illinois. And I thought somebody was pulling my leg.
I would think so.
I said, I don't know a river that's in Effingham. And he said, what was it? I'm not going to take it. What I'm going to do is cut it up and take it piece by piece to Effingham and put it in this lake and make it an entertainment center. And I thought the man was really...
Yeah, I can imagine what you thought.
And so, first of all, I said, are we talking about the same boat? This is a block long, five stories high, and so to make a long story short, In fact, one of his ideas was to cut it up and take it piece by piece by helicopter, which was bizarre. But he ended up cutting up, taking the boat up to Alton and cutting it up and putting it on truckloads, and for weeks and weeks took it up to Effingham with the intention of welding it all back together. And meanwhile, he spread it out onto this field, and it just sat there. And the city in Effingham, had not knowing what was originally planned, had an interest in it initially, but then when they saw what, no, this won't work. There's no way you can put this boat back together.
So is it these pieces? Are they there?
They're still there. They're the gentleman who made all these arrangements. He has it in a field next to his company there in Effingham. So the pilot house is there. The smokestack's over here. The steam engines are over there and so on. And it's just kind of spread out. And there's actually no plans for it. And I guess if somebody wanted a pilot house, they could, or wanted smokestack, they could probably buy it from them.
What a weird story.
It is. It's a shame because it was a spectacular boat.
Yes, it sure was. And I see we have here a booklet that you published about the president that came out,
Right. It came out. That one there, I believe, came out in 1933, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm, I think
And Streckfest put out a little magazine every year. We did that in the office in the wintertime. And we would call up all our suppliers and gently ask them, wouldn't you like to advertise in our publication? Arm twisting. And of course, they were very generous, and they did. And so we published each year about 6,000 of them, and we would mail them out to our customers and also to all the doctor's offices in the city. People would be sitting there, and they look at it.
But they're fascinating books. They're wonderful to look at now.
Right. Streckfest was putting out that since 1913. So there's many people who have a full collection, which is kind of if you're kind of a collector,
this would be good to have a full collection.
Each issue relates to whatever was going on in that year in that part, be it Pittsburgh or New Orleans or St. Paul and so on. And they're interesting, and of course the ads in the publication were always interesting. How advertising has changed through the years, and
Now here's a full page ad of Streckfest Steamer says to make our service complete in its appeal to taste of refinement, we serve deluxe ice cream. I don't know who made deluxe ice cream.
I don't know, but I'm sure they sold a lot of it
A
full-page ad.
Exclusively on the Steamer President, Steamer JS, and Steamer St. Paul, a favorite in St. Louis for fine flavor, fine texture. Gosh. What about the Delta Queen? That's still around, isn't it?
It's still around. It's in one piece. It's down in New Orleans. And for the last 10 or probably 15 years, it has been sitting in mothballs with the hope that somebody would, refurbish the boat. That needs new boilers. The Coast Guard requirements have changed. The superstructure has a lot of wood in it, has to be replaced with steel and so on. And so there's been a group that's been trying to save the boat all this time. And meanwhile, it's just been sitting in a slough down in outside of New Orleans, and the weather and everything else, even the hurricanes recently took the roof off of it. It's a kind of a hopeless cause. I hate to say that because it was a wonderful boat, but it's beyond saving. But there's a real dedicated group that still wants to put it back together if they can.
Well, like some boats, their time is done. Our time is done too, Tom Dunn, and we have to move on, and you go take a look down at the river, see if you find any boats. Not many left.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you very much, Johnny.
Thank you very much. We didn't even get to talk about the Goldenrod Showboat and so many more. Well, we're going to continue with our program with Jordan Palmer. Jordan Palmer, we'll tell you who he is. A person that you may know. He's had a lot of history in print. Doing a podcast coming up, and also on Channel 5 in St. Louis. This is At Your Service. I'm Johnny Rabbit. Jordan Palmer what is that Modern Brewery shirt?
Modern Brewery.
What is that?
Modern Brewery just happens to be one of over 60 breweries in the St. Louis area, and part of what I love to do in town is write about beer and whiskey from a local perspective, and it just happens to be that I wear beer t-shirts every day to work, and this was the one I picked today. This is a classic. If you could see it, this is the older logo since they just opened their new location.
But where are they? Where are they?
Right now, they just opened up off Oakland, right next to the Science Center. They're brand new, been there a few times. It's beautiful. Great place to watch a football game. Great place to grab a meal. The food is fantastic. And boy, the beer is always tremendous.
Well, what a tip. That's great.
You know, I
drive by there all the time. I just drove by there yesterday. I didn't even see the place. I've got a modern brewery and good food.
Yeah. They just opened a brand new tap room just this past summer.
Do they have bratwurst, you know?
That I couldn't tell. But it's a rotating menu.
Oh, okay. Now, beer, let's talk just a bit before we get what you do day in, day out, and your regular job, I guess you
could
say.
It's my passion project.
So your company, so to speak, or your site is what?
Drink314.com. Drink314 basically is a website where I create content to celebrate and to support the local drinking community in a responsible way. I write about breweries. I write about distilleries. I try to write about the wineries. I don't know as much about it, but I write it from an everyman's perspective. I'm not an expert on anything. I just happen to love beer and love talking about it, and I can write, so I started to write about it.
Good. Did you talk to Chris Knopfziger yet?
I have not yet, but I will be reaching out because I did look him up after you sent me that, and he's got more beer knowledge than I think he's probably forgotten more things about St. Louis beer than I've written. But yes, I'll be reaching out to him soon.
I think the two of you would get along very well.
I look forward to that.
Who knows what that will develop into?
Maybe who knows?
Something you're going to do, a podcast?
Well, I've been working on several ideas regarding a podcast. Brews Day Tuesday is a concept that I came up with a few years ago where I wanted to highlight a brewery and then talk to a brewer. We almost got it off the ground when my good friend Stephen Hale all of a sudden decided to move out of St. Louis. Stephen Hale was the ambassador brewer, I guess you call it, from Schlafly, and he was going to be my first guest. But I've toyed with that idea, and then now I'm working on another idea to kind of bring over the Jewish light where I'm at now, a podcast, hopefully in the future, with one of the funniest young ladies in St. Louis, Amy Fenster Brown, who writes for us. And has been a colleague of mine for many decades, going back through our travails at different facilities here of media within the St. Louis area. So we're looking forward to that. Maybe we'll try to get it off the ground. We're just in discussions.
Right, I like now. Travails. It's a good way.
We've worked lots of places.
When we first met, I don't even know how many years ago that's been.
Well, I can tell you, it was 1995.
Oh.
I had just returned from Knoxville, Tennessee to start at KSDK to start a new show, which I am proud to say is still on the air.
Yes, it is.
Show Me St. Louis, so many years ago. And back then, the show was hosted by John Pertzborn, Debbie Turner, mm-hmm. Wendy Bell, and Dan Buck. And there was a cast of us behind the scenes. That's where I kind of made my way of learning how to produce television. And from there, that's...
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime. Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
That's where you and I first came together. If I remember correctly, we had you on regularly.
Yes. Yeah.
with John Pertzborn, right. In more of a historical, I think, did we talk about history?
Well, kind of history in a light way. And somebody just sent me a clip, and I'm not sure when it was from. This was with Dan Buck, and okay. We were going up to the top of the cathedral.
And yes.
It is a good piece from a historic standpoint, because we saw a lot of things underground and tunnels and behind the crypts and all that. And then went all the way to the top. And, of course, I didn't go all the way to the top. I wasn't going up that stairway. No way.
I did send Dan Buck into some strange places. Yeah. I do recall one time I did send him into the old arena before it got imploded.
Wow.
Somehow I got us in. And he went in with a cameraman and some security. And it was frightening, he said. I mean, there were birds and live animals living inside there. But I sent Dan in quite a few areas. I'm sure if he were here, he'd remember more than me. But back then, that show really, I think, for the first time, especially for me who grew up in St. Louis, I got to see and learn things about our own hometown that I didn't know existed. Mm-hmm. And frankly, that was really the greatest part of what you came on, is you were able to, you knew this stuff, and now we were retelling it for a television audience that maybe had never seen that.
That's probably true.
So it was revolutionary a little bit in its time. But boy, it was a great show. I'm so proud that it's still on the air to this day.
I am too. It's a long, really long running show. That's great. Great to hear.
I can't do that math because I'm married to a math teacher, but that's well over 25 years, I'm guessing.
And it's the show is different.
It is different. Yes.
There's a different feel to it. But it's still the same name, and it's still about St. Louis. And
that's
for fans of Channel 5, you know about it. If you don't watch Channel 5, you should. And there's a newspaper you should read. What is that newspaper?
Well, it's called the St. Louis Jewish Light, and it has been around, depending on which incarnation of it, between 75 years and 60 years in our current form. But it's one of the oldest Jewish newspapers in the country. And I came to it just about a year ago, happenstance being what it was. I had a high school friend who was on the board and knew that I was looking around, and started off really part-time. And I have never been happier. It is an incredible journey for me journalistically. It's been an incredible year. I've been full time with them since November of 21. And since then, we have had a lot of fun. We've seen some really incredible growth. And I will say, and I'm most proud about this, is the Morning Light, which is our morning email, has found an audience that is outside of St. Louis. But I continually get emails from non-Jewish readers. And they make it very clear why they are subscribing and paying attention to what we're putting out. And really, sadly, it's because of the recent spout of anti-Semitism. They are following what's going on. They have found us to be a voice of that. So I'm really proud of that. But yes, it's an incredible small group of people who put out this newspaper now twice in a month, and the Morning Light is sort of our daily paper.
How many days a week?
5 days a week, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday. We did have a Sunday, but as in anything, you have to look at the labor you're putting out with the response you're getting. And although Sunday was doing fine, it was just too much for me, so we cut it back to Monday through Friday, which seems to be working perfectly.
So I was just looking, and I made some copies as best I could from the computer of what just was on of, I guess it was Friday.
Okay.
Friday, don't start shopping until you check out Ellen Futterman.
Ellen Futterman is the editor-in-chief. I've known Ellen peripherally for years, and now I get a chance to work with her every day, and she's the most remarkable journalist I've ever worked
with. She's great.
She's fantastic.
She really is.
So unbeknownst to me, because I kind of came in late, she's been doing a gift guide for years. And so this year, that was our lead story. Don't start your shopping until you see what Ellen has for you. And we actually have part two of it coming up on tomorrow. So, the email itself is what I call a really light, balanced of content that is suitable for the morning. It's supposed to wake you up and pep you up a little mm-hmm. bit.
It does.
And the idea is to not overburden you with too much content, too many choices, basically six or seven, what I consider the best stories of that day. Every story has to kind of live up to its placement in the Morning Light.
Sure.
The story has to impress me and make me want to click on it. And that's sort of what my transition from television to digital has basically given me that ability to hopefully figure that stuff out.
So how many people does it take to do this? This is pretty complicated.
Well, the entire paper and the organization we have creating content, really three or four of us, two full-time. We have a gentleman by the name of Mike Sherwin who is not creating written content but is basically building the paper. We have our sales staff, which is three women and a freelance writer. So it's a small staff.
Oh, it is small, much smaller than I thought.
But we are pumping out lots of really incredible content. Now, the Morning Light also has partners. We've created content partnerships, so we're bringing in Jewish content from national Jewish websites like JTA or The Forward or other various mm-hmm. entities that I find. But digitally speaking, it is not all local. We try to keep it about two to three stories locally, and then the rest is what I would consider more international fare, which is why I think it has a really nice balance.
And I see in the Friday edition, a face that I'm familiar with as your last item.
The Friday, yes.
I'm like, what's my picture? Look at there.
The bottom of the email has sort of taken on its own little life. I've had some consultants who originally had told me that it would be okay if I, you know, put my name on it, you know,
sure.
own this thing. And I did. And I left a picture up there of me for few months, and then I got tired of looking at my face, and I decided to change it. And then a couple people noticed that I changed it, and now I change it routinely. And now I've got some franchises. Like on Wednesday, we do pets, St. Louis Jewish readers pets. We do a blast from the past where I find a photo from the entire 75 years of the paper, and sometimes it's really kind of neat. We'll put up a picture, but I don't know who the people are. And we would spend a week trying to get people to tell us who is in that picture. So the bottom of the email is sort of taking on a happy, very
yes,
positive life
it
of
does. Jordan Palmer is with us. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk more about what he is doing and what you can read. And how do you find the newspaper? How do you find the Morning Light and more? I am Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service on KMOX. At your service, it's Johnny Rabbit. And Jordan Palmer is here to tell us more about. Well, first, let's talk about the Jewish Light newspaper. Now, how do people get that newspaper?
Right now, the best, easiest way would be to visit stljewishlight.org online.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of the website, you have options to subscribe to both the newspaper, the physical paper, which a lot of people still enjoy receiving, or you can subscribe to our emails. We have the Morning Light email, which does go out Monday through Friday, but we also have several others, one focusing on family, one focusing on Israel itself. The obituary section, which it remains very popular.
Well, I bet.
It has the email itself is one of the most, I've never seen email read as much as that. And so really, there's lots of different options, but that's really what it is. It's free. All of those emails and that subscription are free. So please log on to STL Jewish Light, L-I-G-H-T.org. And you'll see a subscription tab at the top where you can subscribe to both the paper or the Morning Light. Love to have you.
There was a beautiful article that was written about the passing of Dave Venn, jazz pianist, and Jeannie, his widow, sent the let us know that it was in the Morning Light. It was really a well-done article.
The thing I've noticed is that our audience is actually very socially aware. So I do see a lot of people sharing our stuff like that. And the Jewish Light, Ellen Futterman particularly, and Bill Machen, our freelance writer, are very in tune with the community around them, who's doing what. And that is really what I've been learning from them, relearning sort of those old skills, the old journalism skills of finding those stories. But really, this is a community story. This is a community paper. And really, I liken us to not so much reporting the news of the day, but the people of our community.
It shows in the yeah, light, Morning Light.
In my old gigs running digital websites, I may not have put first and last names of folks inside the headlines, but at the Jewish Light, a lot of times that says it all. Like, this person who's part of this community is in the news today.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've challenged myself many times to create new ways of looking at Jewish content and finding our audience reacting in different ways. But it has just been a blessing. I've never been happier in a job in my life.
Isn't that great? And you were happy at Channel 5 too.
I'm happy everywhere I went, but this has been an incredible experience. I've learned a lot. I'm learning from a great team, rediscovering my own Judaism, mm-hmm. and it's in my way of being Jewish in St. Louis. And so I will say that it does the latest incidents of anti-Semitism all over the world have been enlightening to me in such a way that had I not been working for the Jewish Light, I don't know how much I would be in the know. So it is a little frightening to overknow the kind of things that I see now with so many access to so much media. But I think what the Jewish Light then offers is a really smart way of understanding what's going on out there.
Now, somehow, somewhere along the line, back at Show Me St. Louis, there you started writing about beer? Was that how it started?
Going back to the early days of Show Me St. Louis, there was a brewery that was opening in the mid-90s called Sixth Row. And a friend of mine from high school was an investor. And when he was telling me about it, I got very jealous that I wanted very much to know about that. And really what ended up happening was the more I looked at Schlafly and some of the early craft breweries, I kind of fell in love with them as artists,
mm-hmm.
and realized that there wasn't a lot being written about them. We had the RFT, we had the Post-Dispatch, and people were talking about beer. So I just took it upon myself to start a website and a blog, and have been writing close to 7 years now, probably over 1,000 articles.
Find this? Where is it
drink314.com. That's it.
And you can even see some of the evergreen.
Everything's there. Yeah, everything's there. I started, I'm on social media like that too, and trying to learn to be an influencer, they call us. And at the same time, I just started a new Drink314 email, and I send it out bi-monthly now. It is, you know, a side project, so I have to make sure I get my day job done first.
Of course.
But it is, I've got 300 subscribers, and really I've heard nothing bad back. So I'm hoping that people will find me. And I basically write about the beer. I write about the people who make it. I write about events. I write about distilleries. I write about, again, the people who make it. And occasionally I actually break a big story. And it's a lot of fun. I've gotten really great support from the breweries. Again, this is just a passion project.
Sure.
But yeah, if I could retire and write about beer for the rest of my life, that would
now, what
be
about
an easy
again,
dream.
Those podcasts that's coming out?
Again, it's just more of a theoretical podcast right now.
Theoretical.
The idea is that that on Tuesdays, I would love to start a podcast where we're going to basically focus in on the week of events, but really the people. Again, sort of like with the Jewish Light, it's the people in the community that make all this great art, I consider the beer and the spirits. So that's sort of the dream.
I just worked on it. I was involved, and they asked me to be involved in a podcast, a pizza-based podcast about St. Louis pizza. And oddly enough, it's not for anything in St. Louis. It's for KCUR Public Radio in Kansas City. And they have presented this big, long story about the history and where the first pizza was, which was in April of 1945, Amadeo Fiore's Melrose Pizza at Sarah and West Pine. And it goes on. And if somebody wants to read it or see it, I actually haven't seen it yet. I've read it. You go to Hungry for Mo, M-O, capital M-O, Hungry for Mo, to find out about pizza. But you also tie in the food, I guess, like you talked about the modern breweries food.
I do. I am by no means a food writer or a foodie, but most of the breweries now are finding that food, having a food alternative, either for via food truck or having an in-kitchen or a kitchen built in, is a smart business plan. So more and more breweries are opening up. In fact, one of my most popular stories I wrote was for St. Louis Magazine, which were 15 area breweries that serve great food. That now number has probably doubled since I wrote it. But yes, I do. I even write about stories where my Friday night at a brewery, what I drank and what I ate. And again, not really critiquing anything, but just telling you what the options are and hoping the reader will make their own decisions.
Now, do you take photographs of things?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
I don't pride myself on being a skilled photographer, but the photographs are there. I enjoy it. Trying to get good shots of beer, and I'm learning how to light better, learning how to take better stuff, better photographs. And sometimes I find that when I try to put myself in, depending on the angle that I'm going for, people do like to see people drinking and eating. It's very interesting.
It's true. There's something I do want to mention. It's American Minute. Is a website, AmericanMinute.com, by Bill Federer from St. Louis. You may know Federer Place. His family is named for his family. And there's an article recently. You go to AmericanMinute.com. It's about the creation of the modern state of Israel, about United States leaders who supported Fiddler on the roof type subjects about the problems in Eastern Europe and Russia and the persecution of the Jewish community. Even going back to Lincoln and going up to Ronald Reagan. And he said the U.S. must ensure the survival of Israel. So that's Bill Federer's. It is AmericanMinute.com. And it sounds like it should be a radio program, but I guess it's not.
I'm going to check it out. Broke news to me.
Well, great. Well, I'm afraid our time has just ended. So thank you, Jordan.
I had a blast. It was great to see you again.
Thank you, Jordan Palmer. Johnny Rabbit, KMOX.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime. Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025, and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented
by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.